Open your Bibles, please. Song of Solomon tonight, where we were this morning, chapter 2. I just barely got into the first part of the message. And I really didn't. I appreciate you being here and being faithful. God is worthy.
Amen.
God is worthy. I'm not. You're not. But God is worthy of our faithfulness. And He's willing and able to make it worthwhile.
Amen.
That we be faithful to Him. He doesn't overlook your labor of love. I promise you that. Stand together. Let me read a few verses here again this morning. Not re-preach, but just give you a brief review so you catch up with us. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Father in heaven, bless your word tonight. Help us, help me, fill me with your spirit, and to be a blessing. Lord, help me to love you and love your people. And I pray, God, that you would draw us all. Just do the work, Father. We are so needy. Every one of us is different burdens and questions in our hearts and our minds. And I pray, God, please, that you do the work. Save the lost. Strengthen your children, we pray. Bind the devil, God. Please give perfect liberty here in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I told you this morning that the speaker here is the bride of Christ, the bridegroom, of course, in verses 1 and 2, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Notice there's not just going to be one valley in your life. There are going to be valleys, plural. You mark it down. You can't escape it. But in those valleys, there's a lily. Amen. There's a lily named Jesus Christ in those valleys. And He loves His bride. He loves His bride. We said that the bride is the church. Those of us who are born again, baptized, members of His church. Not every church belongs to Him. There are many man-made churches. Any church that preaches another gospel, using another Bible, using another, focusing and lifting up another Savior, another is absolutely 100% false.
Amen.
False. It's not the Christ. It's not the Church of Christ. Not the love of His life. The truth. Those who are born again, biblically living, scripturally baptized, and active in His church. Amen. The bride of Christ. Now, He said that that bride is, His love is given to that bride. And then the bride begins to speak in verse 3 about the apple tree and her beloved among the sons. And His shadow, great delight, fruit is sweet to His taste, and then her taste. And then she is still speaking in verse 4, referring to her bridegroom. He brought me to the banqueting house. I told you this morning that the banqueting house is a very special place. Over in the East, they still have banqueting houses. Kings have banqueting houses. They have special places within their palaces where they entertain their guests. I told you in the book of Esther how Haman was a special guest. Of course, he didn't know that he was specially invited to be hung on his own gallows. But the point is that he was excited that he got a personal invitation to the king's banqueting house to eat with the king and queen himself. It was a special time. He was thrilled. And Christians, we ought to live our lives thrilled. I told you this morning, the banqueting house is a place of royalty. Not just anybody can go in there. Not just anybody can go in the banqueting house. It's a place that is only by invitation only. And as God brought us into His banqueting house, I told you it's a picture of salvation. It's a picture also of church, being a part of His church, being faithful to be and stay in His church. It's a place of royalty. It's a place of rest. It's a place where you can come and rest. Now, He's doing all the work. He does the one. He's the one serving us the feast. He's the one doing all the preparations ahead of time. And He's the one that gives us rest. He says, just sit down for a while here and fellowship. Have some communion with Me. Let's enjoy some time together. And He says, just come. I've done all the work. I've done all preparation. You come and you rest here. It's a place of reconciliation. It's a place where you and your God, you and your Savior, can get back on good terms where you need to be. He doesn't go anywhere else, but listen to me, you and me always do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's a place of reconciliation. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety, my brother. It's a place where you will not be touched. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. It's a place of refuge, safety. That's what it's all about, refuge. Shelter. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of real feasting.
Yep.
Now, some of you may like to eat microwave, and Brother DeShazo, don't get mad at me. But I guarantee you, if he had a choice between my wife's home cooking and his microwave food, he's coming over to our house. And he has many times. And that's good. We feel sorry for him once. No, I'm just kidding. Like Brother DeShazo, you got to stop warming up those pizzas, brother. Come on, macaroni and cheese ain't cutting it no more. Come over and let's eat some real food. Well, the palace, the banqueting house in the palace is real feasting. It ain't warmed over. It's fresh. It's food that is prepared by the hands of the Master Himself. It's real feasting. I'm talking about the banqueting house of our Lord and Savior. I told you this morning, it's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of the assembly of the saints. It's a picture of the Scripture, the Word of God. It's a picture of the secret place of prayer. And I told you this morning, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that the Father is in secret. He's there in the banqueting house. Where are you? I told you it's a picture of the Savior Himself. We are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer our own. We are just not anybody. We are in Christ. We are in that banqueting house. He is there. When we go there, He is there. And so I want to continue now with that thought. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. So the banqueting house is a place of refuge, safety, revival, reconciliation. It's a place of real feasting. It's a place of rest. Amen. I like that rest part.
Amen.
Spiritual banqueting house is all of these things we've talked about. But there's a literal banqueting house in heaven, folks. There's a literal one that is there waiting for us. And there is going to be a literal feast, a marriage supper. And I don't believe that's going to be the only time that we eat there. We're not going to eat one time for all eternity. Amen? Jesus ate after He was resurrected. He came to His disciples and He says, "Have ye any meat?"
Yep, that's right.
Now, I know meat doesn't mean what we think it means. They gave Him fish and bread. But He asked for meat. Praise God. Meat. Okay, some of you are getting mad at me already. But number two, quickly. Not only the banqueting house I see in this verse, but I want to draw your attention also to the fact it says here, He brought me. He brought me. If you're saved tonight, say amen.
Yep.
You were brought to the place of understanding that you needed to be saved.
Amen.
There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, No, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There is none of us that woke up one day and said, I am going to go search for the banqueting house. Negative, not true, not biblical, a lie. You had to be brought.
Amen.
You were brought. I was brought. Somebody brought you.
Amen.
We did not come to the banqueting house on our own. We did not come to the knowledge of the banqueting house on our own. We've been brought to the understanding of these things. The scripture, the church, the salvation of Jesus himself, the secret place of prayer. You didn't wake up one day just understanding that you needed to go into a closet, close the door, and commune with your Heavenly Father. Somebody had to bring you to that understanding.
Amen.
No one could ever, listen to me now, no one could ever come to this banqueting house without a special invitation from the King himself. John 6:44 says, no man, Jesus speaking here, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
Amen.
You were brought. Oh, I don't know specifically how you were brought. It may have been through a gospel tract. It may have been through a next door neighbor. It may have been through a co-worker. It may have been from mom and dad. But it may have been by a friend. It may have been through a soul winner knocking on your door. It may have been from a family member. But you were brought somehow to this banqueting house. And why am I saying that? Because you have to understand that if you're not careful, when you're sitting in that banqueting house week after week after week, when you're sitting and feasting with the Savior week after week after week, by the way, day after day after day in prayer and scripture reading, when you're there all the time, and you should be, you should long to be there, you should never want to leave. I don't want to leave there.
Amen. Come on.
But you know what happens? We get fat,
yep,
and we forget God. That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. When they got into the promised land, they got fed with milk and honey. They got to live in houses that they did not build. They got to eat of fruit and crops that they did not plant. And they got fat and they forgot God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We cannot allow ourselves. We cannot let anybody else take the credit, take the honor for our presence in the banqueting house. Listen to me. It's only because of God's grace that we are there today. It's only because of God's glory that we are in this banqueting house. We cannot, we dare not touch the glory of God, or you will be struck down in a hurry. We get so used to it. Well, for one thing, we don't even appreciate it anymore. But for another thing, we start to take it for granted, like we belong here. I belong here in the banqueting house. No, you were nothing but filthy rags until God brought you.
Amen.
Why is that important? I want you to note, look in chapter 1. Of the same book, verse 4. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Now stop right there. Wait a minute. When you first got saved, you were.
Yeah, man.
What about now? I don't want to bring up anything in no names, no specifics, because it could be anybody. But what about now?
Yep. Come on.
I mean, some of you have been in church 9 months before you were born. What about now?
Amen.
Oh, when he drew me, when he brought me, when I first, can you imagine first the first glimpse of the banqueting house of heaven that we're going to have? We're going to fall on our faces. It's going to be an unbelievable sight. It's going to be an unbelievable experience. And I know in heaven we're not going to have any more flesh. But you understand what I'm saying? Here in this life, our spiritual understanding of the banqueting house, the scriptures, the word of God, the place of prayer, salvation, Jesus himself, why has it gotten old? Because we forgot that we were brought in there. We were drawn in there. It was no doing of our own.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
And you know what sneaks in? You guessed it. Pride.
Yes, sir.
Look at me. I'm in the banqueting house. Look out the window and say, notice it says, draw me in verse 4. We will run after thee. The king hath, we will run after thee. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. You used to run to church. You used to couldn't wait to get to church. You used to run to the time of prayer. You used to run to the scriptures. You don't even drag yourself out of bed anymore.
Mom.
I know, I got to hurry up. But we all struggle. I'm not talking about anything that's unusual. It's all of us. It's in the Bible. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. But notice now the attitude in verse 5, though. Don't miss this. I am black, but comely.
Amen.
O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Now stop right there. What am I saying with all that? It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It has to do with the fact that this bride was humble.
Amen.
She said, I am black. My skin is burned. Don't look upon me. I don't deserve to be here.
Amen.
Oh, dear God, if I could live like that every day, I would be a different person. I don't deserve that Bible that I hold in my hand. I don't deserve a church that Jesus bled and died for. I don't deserve you to be here tonight. I don't deserve you to tithe and give to missions in this church. I don't deserve anybody to sit here and listen to me preach. I don't deserve a beautiful wife and children singing to the glory of God. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. You say, well, I don't have all that. Well, you have salvation. You have scripture. You have the saints of God in the assembly. You have the secret place of prayer. You have it. You have Jesus Christ the Savior. If you're saved, you have all of the same things. The only reason I have those things is because of Him.
Amen, preacher.
His grace. But we get so full of ourselves, we forget that I didn't earn my way in here. I didn't earn my salvation.
Amen.
That's why there's so much boasting going on.
Yep.
Humility. Look not upon me. There was an awkwardness. I don't belong here. Now, the minute we start to think we deserve to be saved is the minute we start down the dangerous path of sin and pride. The minute we start to think we deserve to be in church, we deserve to have 14 or 16 Bibles in our house, we deserve to just be in prayer with God, is the minute that we start treading the very dangerous waters of pride. And they'll take you down every time.
Amen.
When you start to take something for granted, you stop appreciating it.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You stop telling people, oh, this is a great place to call home. I've been here for 8 months, and it's been like 8 years, and I love it, and you need to come. If you start to take it for granted, you stop appreciating it, and that's no longer even in your mind, let alone on your lips. And you just start, well, you know, laying out. Laying it down.
Yep.
banqueting house. Well, what's all that? Because you did not remember. You did not keep it fresh in your mind that you were brought there. You did not deserve to be there. You are burnt. You are black with sin. You don't deserve for God to even look upon you, and neither do I. But He brought us because He loved us.
Amen.
Because of Jesus, He brought us. Because of the grace of God, He brought us. Because of the gospel message, He brought us into His banqueting house. We don't deserve to be there. We should not be able to stay there, but we get to live there for all eternity. God, help us to lay down our pride.
Amen. Yes,
starting with me. Pride says, God got something when He got me. I'm just being honest with you. It'll kill you. It'll drag you out faster than you can spin, faster than you can blink. It'll get you thrown down. It'll get you cast out. And it'll get you devoured.
Yes, sir.
Faster than you can blink. When you start thinking you belong there. Do you know where you belong?
Amen.
Do you know where you belong? I know where I belong. And you're just as much sinner as I am.
Yep.
He brought me.
Amen.
The banqueting house is a place of royalty, rest, reconciliation, revival, refuge. But I don't deserve to be there. When's the last time? You see, this is why Christians are so unthankful. I'm trying to hurry. I got a lot of other stuff to say, but I need to. Why are we so unthankful? Why is it when somebody does something for us, we just expect it? We don't deserve anything. You know how many times those bus riders thank me for picking them up and taking them home and picking them up? And you know how many times they thank me? Why is that? I wonder if God's up in heaven saying, you know how many times those people thank me for that church? Thank me for that Bible? Thank me for prayer? Thank me for salvation? Thank me for heaven?
Amen.
A humble person is a thankful person. A prideful person is completely unthankful.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, they not only do they not thank God, they stop serving God completely. I'm hurrying on. The banqueting house. It's a blessed place. But you can't be there until God brings you there.
Amen.
And lastly, don't get excited because there's a lot underneath here. It's His banner over me.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
This is really what I was getting to, and then God just gave me so much other. I said, there's no way I can preach all this, so I'll just make it a 2-part series. I believe you would agree with this, especially in light of everything that's happening in our own church. He brought me to the banqueting house, but more and more, it's harder and harder to keep people there. Salvation is never lost. But faithfulness to His assembly, faithfulness to His Word, faithfulness to His communion that He desires with us in prayer, faithfulness to the Savior Jesus Christ Himself is decreasing with lightning speed and disheartening regularity. In other words, let me put it down on your level, maybe if you didn't follow that. People are dropping off like flies.
Yes, sir.
They're leaving the real feasting for the microwave. Brother DeShays, I love you, you understand? They're leaving the home-cooked, real, fresh, and hot food for the warmed-over, processed junk that this world offers them. They're leaving the refuge. They're leaving the place of reconciliation. They're leaving the place of rest. They're leaving the place of revival. They're leaving it all. It's all found in the banqueting house.
Yes, sir.
But they're leaving it all because they've taken their eyes off
Amen.
His banner over me.
Amen.
Turn to Revelation chapter 2, quickly. Keep your place. We'll be back. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Isn't that encouraging? Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Isn't that encouraging? Well, the fact is, 10 days is not eternity. Be thou... What's that next word, church?
Faithful.
How long?
Amen.
Who's that spoken to? One of his churches.
Yep.
Us.
Amen.
His bride. Be thou what? How long? That means all your life.
Amen.
Notice, and I will give thee a crown of life. The crown has a requirement of faithfulness.
Amen.
The reward has a requirement of faithfulness.
Yes, sir.
Cal Ripken Jr. played baseball for the Baltimore Orioles for 21 seasons. He was an all-star for 19 of those 21 seasons. He won Rookie of the Year, his first year in the major leagues. He was 2-time most valuable player of all of the American League. He won the World Series 1 time. He is best remembered, though, for breaking the record for most games played consecutively. Get this. He did not miss one game of baseball in 2,632 games. Now, that may not mean much to you who don't know what baseball even is, but 2,632 anything consecutive is a good record.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He did not miss one game. He was asked, after breaking the record, he was asked how he achieved such a phenomenal record. His answer was really two parts. Here's what he said in deep theology. I showed up for work every day. And then he said, and I showed up to work every day.
Amen. That's right.
Yep. My prayer, my heart's desire is that this one little verse in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4 will cause you and me, especially this part here, of His banner over us is love, that He will help you and me understand and open our eyes to the reality that we are an honored guest in the banqueting house of the King of Kings, and His banner of love over us ought to keep us put.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's look at this banner quickly. Well, as quickly as possible. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's been said that there are three ways to motivate someone. It all boils down to three different ways. Fear motivates people. Reward motivates people. But the third and most powerful form of motivation in this world is true love. True love. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, what things? Anything you're going through, any excuse you can come up with to not be faithful, in all these things, we, Christians, members of His church, members of His bride, we are more than conquerors, more than conquerors, more than conquerors through Him that, what, church? That loved us. For I am persuaded. That's what you need to just get deep down in the core of your soul tonight, is that we are persuaded.
Amen.
Nothing can change us from the fact that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the what? The love of God. Why are so many people separated from it? Because they will not get persuaded. They will not let God's love change them. They are drifting to and fro. The love of God ought to keep you put.
Amen.
In the banqueting house of the King.
Amen.
Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. What does it say? Which is through our good works. Which is through our baptism. Which is through our talents. Our money. Which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Our Lord. Do you understand? This banner, number one, quickly, is a symbol of unity. Notice in our scripture I just read to you in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Neither height nor depth shall be able to separate us. It's a symbol. It's a banner. It's a flag that waves over this banqueting house of the King of Kings, that is a symbol of unity. All who are in that house have the same banner flying over them. We are in this thing together. We are in this thing together, united as one. We are together. I told Brother Amadi that, listen, the lion does not find the middle of the pack. He attacks those that are wandering outside on their own. They're either hurt, their poor little feelings are hurt, they're offended somehow, they're weak, they're not feasting like they're supposed to, they're weak, so they're dragging, or they're just distracted by the cares of this life, but somehow they drift away from that pack, and that roaring lion is constantly seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour those that are in the banqueting house. He cannot devour those that are united under the banner of love. He cannot, but He sure can when you start getting out.
Amen, preacher.
And He will. And He does. But this is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of unity. All all of us in that banqueting house, it's the same love that drew us. It's the same love that saved us. It's the same love that's keeping us there. It's a symbol of unity.
Amen.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot. Mark it down. Stick it in your noggin tonight. Fully persuaded, if I divide myself against a banqueting house, I cannot stand.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
If I divide myself against that unity, that strength, the bond, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You understand, you out on yourself, you are so easily snapped, it's not even funny. But when you're in the banqueting house, under the unity of the love of God, nothing can separate us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a symbol of victory. The love of God is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors.
Yeah,
I told you before, I believe, how can you be more than a conqueror? Well, because you are more than a conqueror, because you didn't even have to pay for it. You didn't have to fight for it. You just got brought in by the grace of God. Jesus is the conqueror. He is the victor. He is the one, but we just get to go to the spoils.
Yeah,
we are more than conquerors. We are victors. We are in Christ. He is in us. We are in His love, and it is a symbol of victory when a fort is taken. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. When a fort is taken, the flag of the victor is raised as a symbol of conquering that fort. Jeremiah 50. I'll get over there. Good night. There it is. Verse 2. I'm just giving y'all more time. Declare ye, verse 2, Jeremiah 50, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Standard is a banner. Standard is a flag. It's an ensign. Set up a standard, declaring among the nations, publishing it among all who will see. Publish and conceal not. Don't hide it. Say, Babylon is taken. Are you looking at that? There is victory. God says Babylon is taken. Baal is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. There is victory in that love, in that banqueting house. That banner of love says to all the world, I'm in Christ. I've shattered your idols. I've shattered your gods. I'm here now. You lose. I win.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I'm under the banner of His love.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
It's a symbol of victory. Victory. It says, publish and conceal not. Why are you so ashamed of it? Why are you so ashamed of the love of God? Why are you so ashamed of the suffering of Christ? Why are you so ashamed of the fact that you are on the winning side?
Amen.
We just heard it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Why are you concealing it?
Come on.
Why are you hiding it?
Yep.
Publish it. Conceal it not. Babylon is destroyed. Amen. Glory to God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's a symbol of victory. I'm having a good time. I'm going to sleep good tonight. It's a symbol of distinction. Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It's a symbol of distinction. In other words, all flags are not the same. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now look, I don't have time to go into it, but when they pitched that tabernacle in the wilderness, there was a place for you to pitch your tent. You had to find your father's standard, and then you had to get over there on that side of the tabernacle. And then there was four sides to every square. It wasn't a square, it was a rectangle. There was four sides, and there was three tribes on each side. How many tribes is that? Four sides, three on each side. 12. Thank you, Johnny. 12 tribes of Israel. There you go. You got it. These boys up here are not reliable. Not for math, anyway. But the Bible said, pitch your tent by your flag because that's your father. See, it distinguished them from, okay, well, I know I'm to be on this side. The west, the north, the south, the east, that's the four sides. And they had to be three tribes on each side. And there was one ensign, one standard. And it was the same way every time they pitched that tabernacle. It was the same way every time they took it down and went somewhere else. They set up the tabernacle and they pitched their tents by their father's ensign. In other words, you didn't just go wherever you felt like going. You didn't just go wherever you felt like sleeping. You went to your ensign, to your flag, to your banner, and you sat where you were supposed to be under your father's house. It's a symbol of distinction. Not everybody's going to be in there. It's a love that distinguishes God's people from the rest of the world.
Amen. Right.
We ought to be different.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if you don't want to be different, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go find your own banner.
Yep.
You're going to go look and lay under someone else's father's banner.
Yep.
I have to believe, Brother DeShazo, in that tabernacle with all of those millions of Jews, that some of those guys got rebellious.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, I want to spend the night over here with, I almost said Johnny, with Jimmy. And mom said, son, our tents are over there.
Yep.
Our daughter, our tents are over there. Why? Because God has an order.
Yeah, man.
To the way things are supposed to be done.
Yeah, man.
And His ensign of love flying over us says we are not like the world.
Yeah.
We do not belong in the world. We are just passing through. We are just pilgrims. We are not here forever. This is not our home. We are distinct. We are different. It is a banner, a symbol of distinction.
Yeah, man. Very true. Amen.
Glory to God. But see, that ought not bother you. That ought not make you fret. That ought not make you fear. That ought to make you rejoice because it's the love of God. It's the love of Christ. It's the salvation of heaven. It's all of the grace of God. It's everything that makes me whole again. It's everything that saved my soul. It got me out of hell. It brought me all sin, condemned, condemnation is washed away. It's a good distinction. It's a good separation. It's a banner of love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. It's a symbol of distinction. Let me tell you something, though. I'm hurrying. It's a symbol of protection.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33. Aren't you glad I didn't try to preach all this in one message? 33:27. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge. I'm talking about, remember, the love of God. I'm talking, remember, this banqueting house is refuge. Notice, the eternal God is thy refuge. He's over thee. He's thy shelter, thy covering. And underneath, Sister Liz, are the everlasting arms. I say that because I know she loves that song. Underneath, that's where that song came from. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting, notice, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You see, when you get yourself up under that symbol of war, protection, you understand that when I'm under there, God thrust out the enemy from among you. Are you listening to me? Above me is the refuge of God, and under me I'm leaning on His everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. And when I'm there in that place of refuge, God Himself thrust out all the enemy away. It's a symbol of protection.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Glory to God. You just thought it was a banner of love, didn't you? Amen. Sometimes I always love preaching messages like this. There's so much to that one little verse.
Amen.
It's a symbol of protection. But I want you to understand something. It's also a symbol of war.
Yep.
You say, how's that, preacher? John 16:33 says, don't turn to, in this world you shall have tribulation. Marvel not, my brethren, if this world hate you. Take yourself back to a little while after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. Cain and Abel showed up. They both were very religious. They both offered up a sacrifice to God. One did what he wanted to do. One did what God said to do.
Yep.
One got outside of the banqueting house and said, well, I'm going to do things my way under my banner. My banner of lust, my banner of self, my banner of sin, my banner of hatred, my banner of envy, my banner of wickedness, my banner of worldliness, my banner of evil. And other named Abel was over here under the banner of love.
Amen.
I love my God.
Amen.
He saved me. I'm staying right here. And he offered up an acceptable sacrifice.
Amen.
Well, that brought war to his brother's heart. Don't ever think, yes, I know you're in a place of refuge, but you're still a target.
Yep.
And the minute the devil sees you under that banner, you're on his scope.
That's right.
You're on his radar.
Yep.
Blip, blip, he's looking for you. You know what? If you get outside of that banner and wander over into Cain's banner, you can relax. You don't have to fight the devil anymore. No, but you're not relaxing.
Amen.
He's just luring you in.
That's right.
So he can swallow you whole.
That's right.
But in the banner, under the banner of love, you shall have tribulation. You will be attacked. Well, but my mind doesn't feel like I'm safe. I know. When the banner of God's love is raised over me, understand something. I am declaring war on Satan. I am declaring war on hell. I'm declaring war on sin. I'm declaring war against this world. And this world does not take it lying down.
Amen. That's right.
I'm declaring war. Don't turn there for sake of time. Let me read to you. Jeremiah 51:12 says, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare for ambushes. Prepare for ambushes. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Be on the alert. Be sober. Be vigilant.
Amen.
Your adversary, the devil, is watching because of that banner. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care at all about you. He just cares that you are representing, you are standing, you are living under the banner of God's love, and he hates God. He doesn't care about you. I mean, do you really think he's that worried about you? He's just trying to defeat God by taking down everything that it represents God in this world. Don't give yourself so much credit. It's God that he hates. But when you live under that banner, when you reside under that banner of love over you, it's you that becomes the target. It's a symbol, quickly, also of a rallying point. When a soldier goes out to war, when a soldier goes out to fight, and he comes back, maybe tired, maybe weary. You know what he does is he looks for the banner. He looks for the flag flying over his fort or over his camp, over his place of refuge. So it's a rallying point. You wander out sometimes. You have to go out and fight the devil. You have to be on the front lines. You have to do you get out in the barren battlefields. And you have to look when you come back. You're looking for that rallying point. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Why? Because here is the banner of love. It's a rallying point for God's soldiers.
Amen. That's right.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. A rallying point for God's soldiers. Isaiah 11, verse 10. Say, how many of these you got? Don't worry about it. I'll be done when I'm done. Amen. Isaiah 11, I didn't tell you how many I had. I don't know. Let's just have fun. Isaiah 11, verse 10. "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse," there it is, "which shall stand for an ensign," notice, "of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." In other words, it's a rallying point. Jesus Christ, I'm seeking. Not, that doesn't mean for salvation. I'm already saved. I'm seeking him for that. Notice what it says in that verse. Rest. I know I'm not going to get permanent rest in this world, but I sure can sit down at his feet like Mary did. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was busy, 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 busy. But Mary just sat down and rested a while at his feet.
Yep.
That's the scripture. That's prayer. That's the house of God. You see what I'm saying? That's the banqueting house.
Amen.
It's a rallying point. It's a place where you have to go to work and you have to do this and you have to go to school tomorrow. But you ought to have this blessed, blessed remembrance of the banner of love over me, the house of God, the scripture. I'm going to run to it. I'm going to seek after it. I'm going to rally around it because I need to revive my heart.
Amen.
It's a rallying place for God's people. The prodigal son was once in the father's house. The prodigal son was once in the banqueting house. That father was rich. That father had fatted calves. That father had a quite ability to put on quite a feast. But that son said, "I'm going to go off here and do whatever I want to do." And he got himself into a far country. And he came to himself, and you know what he did? He remembered that banner of love flying over his father's house. He said, "I'm down here feeding these old hogs. My father has bread enough to spare. There's a whole lot of feasting at his house. I can't even find me a scrap of hog meat here, to a piece of hog meat to eat. I think I'm going to go back to the banner. I think I'm going to go back to the banqueting house." See, it's a rallying point, not just for Christians who are on the battlefield, but for Christians who are wayward as well.
Yes, sir.
Church, we ought never be a place where somebody who gets away from God doesn't feel like they can come back to.
Amen. That's right.
We ought to welcome them. We ought to rejoice if they come back.
Amen.
We ought to pray for them to come back. This ought to be a place of the love of God where they, when they get tired of the hog pen, they can rally back to the banner of love.
Yes, sir.
We must have it flying high.
Amen.
It's a rallying point for God's people, whether they be on the battlefield or whether they be lost and swept away by sin. And it's also, finally, turn back to Song of Solomon. I know you're waiting for that finally, amen. Turn back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. It's a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of distinction. It's a symbol of protection. It's a symbol of war, however. It's also a rallying point. But finally, it's a symbol of ownership.
Amen.
Notice the wording, "His banner over me was love." Solomon chapter 6, excuse me, verse 3. "I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." Chapter 7, verse 10. "I am my beloved's." Notice, "And his desire is toward me.
Amen.
We are the espoused bride of Christ.
Amen.
We belong to Him. And His desire. Now, don't just overlook that last part of 7:10. His desire is toward us. Do you see that? It's a symbol of ownership, but not like a piece of property. Like a cherished bride.
Amen.
Like a cherished, loving bride. His desire is for you and me in heaven right now. According to the Word of God. Even Jesus Himself doesn't know when He's coming back. Only God the Father knows. That's weird. I thought He is God, but He's not the Father. According to Matthew chapter 24, only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. I have to believe, based on that verse, Song of Solomon 7 verse 10, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, He is. But He's dying. He is in His heart. He is longing with all of His heart to come back and get His bride.
Amen. That's good.
We belong to Him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We're His. His love purchased us. His love keeps us. His love unites us. His love protects us. His love brought us into that banqueting house. And listen, His love, His banner, ought to keep us there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
What motivates you tonight? What's going to motivate you tomorrow to stay faithful? Be thou faithful, how long?
Unto death.
Amen. How are we going to do that? I'm just going to look up and see that banner.
Yep, that's good.
It's over me. No matter where I go, it's over me. I can wander out of the banqueting house, but it's still there. He's still here.
Amen.
I and my beloveds, His desire is toward me. Do you know how unworthy I am? You know how unworthy I am. Let me ask you a more significant question. Do you know how unworthy you are? That the love of Jesus Christ, the desire of the Savior would be towards you? A nurse in a very busy emergency room tells this story. In her own words, she says, "It was a busy morning, approximately 8:30 a.m., when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have stitches removed from his thumb. He told me he was in a hurry. He had an appointment at 9 o'clock sharp. I took his vital signs and I asked him to take a seat, but I knew on that morning it was going to be well over an hour before someone was going to be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch. I saw him anxiously, just the anxiety on his face. And at that particular time, my heart just broke. I wasn't busy with another patient, so I went and I evaluated his wound. As I look at it, I began to notice it was well healed. It wasn't infected. So I talked to one of the doctors and I got the needed supplies and I just removed his sutures. I redressed his wound so he could go. While taking care of his wound, we began to engage in conversation. I asked him, I said, do you have another doctor's appointment this morning or something? Why are you in such a hurry? And this elderly gentleman with a kind, tender face said, no, I don't have another doctor's appointment, but I have an appointment with my wife. She's in the nursing home, and I eat breakfast with her every morning at 9 o'clock. And so I ask him about her health. Why is she in a nursing home? And he said, well, she's been there for a while. She's a victim of Alzheimer's disease. And as we talked, I finished dressing his wound and I asked if she was going to be worried because he was going to be a little bit late. And he replied, no, she won't be worried. She really doesn't even know who I am anymore. I was shocked. And all I could do was ask him, and you still go there every morning? Even though she doesn't know who you are? And he smiled at me with tender eyes and a soft voice. And he said, she doesn't know me, but I still know who she is.
Amen.
That's the kind of love I'm talking about.
Amen.
How many times we wander away from Jesus? We act like we don't even know who He is. We get a spiritual case of Alzheimer's. But He lovingly, tenderheartedly says, I know you're going to act like you don't know me. But I still know you. I still love you. That banner of love ought to keep us in that banqueting house. Do you think anybody else is going to love you like that? I'll answer that for you.
Come on. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank You for Your love. Lord, I pray You'd forgive me the many times I take it for granted. The many times I forget about it. Oh, the many times we trade the trash of this world for the real feasting in Your banqueting house. God, You need to do a work in our hearts tonight. I pray, God, please, for those who have been drawn away, our hearts ache for them. Our prayer tonight is that banner would rally them back to You.